live on DAZN Worldwide.
Saudi Arabia.
Saturday, May 3rd, 7 p.m. Eastern. Canelo versus Skull. The King stakes his legacy once more for the undisputed crown. Standing in his way is Warrior Skull, undefeated and poised to decimate the division on a knockout weekend of boxing.
Let's make history.
Get Canelo versus Skull, Saturday, May 3rd, 7 p.m. Eastern, live exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com.
Hello! Maybe I'm just going to be crazy now that we're in the last season of Pretty Little Liars, not of us, remember that. Hello, you guys, and welcome back to the Pretty Little Podcast. We are your hosts.
My name is Phoebe.
My name is Caroline, and today we are recapping the Season 7 Pretty Little Liars premiere, TikTok Bitches. And, I mean, I couldn't have thought of a better title for this episode myself, honestly. It's like, of course, we need to have bitch. Bitch is such a Pretty Little Liars coded word. It shouldn't even be considered a swear word anymore because it's like canon. It's like part of the cultural lexicon now. You know what I mean?
That's true. That's
true. It's also the word for a girl dog. And I remember being in third grade and pulling out a book on girl dogs or dogs. And it said that girl dogs are called bitches. And I was like, and this needs to be reported. And I walked right up to my teacher and I said, what's up with this? And she was like, well, I was like, and you didn't think we could read, huh? I can read and I know. And she's like, and how do you know what that word means? Anyway, but so just saying, I think bitch, this is my consider this my formal plea, demand even, to have bitch removed from the swear word vocabulary. Now, I don't want to hear any children saying it, but it's part of the show. It's woven into the fabric of the show. What don't you say?
Right, which is universal.
Universal.
How did you feel about this episode? Did you hate it?
Well, why did you think I was going to hate it so much? Because Hannah was in full distress the entire time in her undies?
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't like seeing her like that, of course. But what I did really like seeing was how worried Caleb was. So that kind of like softened the blow for me. Because I know Hannah's not going to die. So it's like, I'm kind of...
Do you like that they tried to make you think that she was dead in the beginning?
No, of course I didn't like that. I was like horrified by it. But like the reaction from Caleb was worth the way that my heart stopped.
I mean, even when they're doing the burying... The way word it so that you like fully think they're burying Hannah.
I know. That was crazy. And I still actually was confused about that in the end.
Guys, we start. Well, it's because we haven't caught up yet.
Well, I have to do the recap. Unless you don't want me to.
I mean, I don't care. You wrote it.
Well, kind of. I'll just do a quick one. It's so hard to do the recaps when we get into a new season because it's like everything. But just a few. I'll give a few little like plot points for each character. So Aria is dating a guy named Liam, and she's working for like a publishing company in Boston, and she and Ezra are writing a book together. And at first her boss Jillian didn't know that she was going to be writing it, but now that she does, she's all on board. They're going to be going in on the marketing campaigns, and it's about like Ezra's ex-girlfriend who disappeared. Okay, Lucas is now super rich, which is like, of course, it's like that old song, you know, my geek is their boss, like that song, you know, like my geek, da 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 da. It was like around the lip gloss song time, and it was like about how like I want to date a geek because one day like my geek will be their boss. Anyway, that's kind of Lucas's whole vibe, and he's letting Hannah live in his loft, and he's also trying to give Hannah a $1 million line of credit so that she can sort of just like make all her dreams come true and do whatever she wants and start her own label in Rosewood. Sarah Harvey, Shower Harvey, also known as, sorry to confuse you, has been living in the Radley, which has been redone by Ashley Marin. And she lived in CC's old room when it was the Radley Sanitarium. And she was able to make a hole in the wall and get down to the basement where we ultimately find records for somebody named Mary Drake. Mary Drake looks exactly like Jess D. It's because they're sisters. She was in Radley her whole life. And she is Charlotte / CC's actual mother. So we found this out. As well. Okay, Allie got married to somebody named Elliot, who was CC's doctor. But then when they were on their honeymoon, she fell on the steps and just things started. I was getting kind of bad feelings. And guess what? I was right, because Elliot and Mary Drake are working together to ruin Allie's freaking life. Okay. And everyone else's. Hannah is like trying to protect everybody. So she is going to tell this Uber A emoji, the new A they're dealing with, who really wants to find out who killed CC and sort of like avenge that. Hannah tells that A that it was actually her. So they're kind of setting a mouse trap, and Hannah is the freaking cheese. Spencer and Caleb have been hooking up, much to my chagrin, but also Caleb and Hannah made out last episode, so who knows what's going to happen there. Obviously, we're Team Caleb here at the Pretty Little Podcast. Vivi Hastings has been running for Senate, but she's also sick. We now know that she has cancer, but that didn't stop her. She won the Senate race. Very exciting. Mona Vanderwaal phone banked, just like we did. Hashtag iPhone banked for Vivi Hastings. Hannah's engaged to a man named Jordan. They're living in New York, but she lost her job. He's kind of nowhere to be found. Who knows what's going on there? Allie is now in a mental rehabilitation center because she thinks that she's going crazy and seeing ghosts like her dead mother and Detective Wilden, but it's actually Elliot and Mary Drake. And now Hannah is maybe dead because A got her. They put her as the cheese in the mousetrap, and it freaking worked. And that is, I think, all that you like really need to know to get into this episode. So Phoebe, I started this out by writing, I think I've seen this film before. How many times do I have to see these girls crying, digging a grave in the forest in the middle of the night?
I wrote, the woods, of course. Where else would we be? Of course,
because where else would we be at the start of a season in Rosewood? Where else? It's almost like Rosewood is like 95, like PA is 95% just like woods.
That's what they want us to believe.
That's what they want us to, that's the propaganda they're pushing here, for sure.
Oh my gosh, last night when I was talking about Pittsburgh so much, you know what song started playing immediately after I explained the lore of Frick Park Market and Blue Slide Park?
There's a party on Fifth Ave.
No, Under the Weather. But what are the odds of a song from Blue Slide Park being played like at a bar in Nashville?
Yeah, no, that is, it's almost like someone
was like, oh my gosh. It's like he is all around the Pittsburghers just waiting for us guardian to angel. Talk up our city.
Yeah, absolutely. It's what he would want.
So Spencer, Emily, and Aria are digging a grave, and the writers really want us to think it's for Hannah because they keep talking about Hannah. And then Spencer says, they're like, they start talking about how it was like an accident or something, or like, they're like, we had a plan.
Yeah.
And Spencer goes, yeah, we had a well thought out plan, and it ends with a dead body. It's first degree murder.
Yeah. So I was like a little confused, and actually I really still didn't realize that this was not for Hannah. So we don't know who they're digging this grave for.
No.
Okay. But it's probably this person. So then we see, well, right. So they're like digging this grave for Hannah. And then we move and we get the whole crew outside of the Rosewood Police Department. So we have Toby, Caleb, Ezra, Aria, Emily, Spencer, and Mona. Okay. Yes. 4 days earlier. And they watch as Mary Drake walks into the police department. And I'm just like glad that we're finally, I mean, I know it's like the last season, but it feels right that we're finally acknowledging the ghost activity in Rosewood. We've been saying it since season one. They've kind of been like dancing around it in so many words, but it's like now we're acknowledging we're seeing ghosts.
It makes sense that Emily would be the one to believe most likely that it would be a ghost because
Emily
has
experience.
You know, we haven't brought up the lore in a long time, and someone did mention that it's some of their favorite. And yeah, we didn't forget Maya's a ghost.
We didn't forget.
She just kind of got tired of Emily's antics.
Absolutely.
And that's why we haven't seen her in a while.
Absolutely. But Emily has the gift. She's got, what do they call it when you've got like the shine? She's got the shine, you know? She can see the ghost.
The sixth sense.
The sixth sense, if you will. The Rosewood sixth sense. Everyone doesn't have it. Emily, of course, does. But it's actually not just D. It's Mary Drake.
Caleb is ready to like fucking bust down the door of the police department. And Mona, I like this dynamic we're building between Mona and Caleb the whole episode, because Caleb is like ready to push Toby into the street so he gets to the police department faster. And Mona goes, wait, look at who's walking in right now. And that's when we see that it's Mary Drake. And then,
well, that's when Caleb's like, I'm going to go beat the truth out of her to find out where Hannah is.
They're all kind of like talking about why they would be seeing her. And they're like, Allie wasn't seeing ghosts. And then Emily says, unless we're under a body snatcher invasion, that's a real person. Yeah, Emily.
Right.
You
know, right.
It.
Totally.
It
totally.
Is a real person.
She's like, anything's possible.
And Toby finally goes in to figure out to make sure that Caleb doesn't go beat the truth out of Mary Drake. Toby goes to find out by Mona's directive who she is. And then Emily says, or what she is.
Exactly. Emily's like vampire, werewolf, or ghost. My money is on vampire, but please go find out whatever she is. Okay. Thank you.
and can you ask if she knows Amaya?
She knew Amaya. How's Maya doing on the other side? So I like, though, also, I feel like Spencer is starting to, like, get it. Like, she's starting to be like, okay, maybe me and Caleb were, like, never meant to be. Because although she's perturbed and annoyed by his reactions, it's not, like, focusing in on it as much. You know what I mean?
She's not angry with him.
Right. It doesn't seem that way. She's just, like,
it would be such a complicated situation to be in.
Oh, my God.
Especially later when she calls asking about food. And I know. Like, I would be like, how do you handle that?
I know. Like, I know. And she's just like, I feel like she's like just turned off her emotions. She's just like, fuck this. So Toby does go into the police department and I'm like shocked he's even able to get in here. Like, I'm like, Toby, are you even like really a cop anymore? Like, this is just Lieutenant Butterscotch isn't here to say, what are you doing? But he shows up in street clothes and shows Mary Drake his badge. And she says she's the new owner of the Lost Woods Resort and she needs to report a break-in. And obviously we know who the break-in was. So then, within seconds, he's back. He's like, all right, that's all I need to know. Yeah, and he, like, runs back out to the guys. He's like, okay, so she's a twin. She's a dead ringer for Jessica. And we realize that she is Charlotte's biological mom, and so maybe she is this Uber A who's signing all the texts AD. And then all their phones go off.
We get the most normal-looking text in the history of this show.
Because there's no emojis in it.
Especially because it's displayed on an Apple Watch. There's no Apple Watch. It doesn't, like, look weird because they're actually using an Apple Watch.
Yeah, I guess that's a good
and
point.
And it says, a lie for a lie, an eye for an eye, the bell tolls for Hannah, A.D.
And then the bell literally tolls.
And then the
tolls.
Church bell starts to ring.
It literally tolls. And they, then, I mean, Caleb looks so scared. Like,
Hannah
they
gets her
run.
Ian edit.
Yeah, she does. Full circle. Talk about full circle. We've got Ghost now, and we've got Ian hanging in the Rosewood Church. Kind
but
of. So Caleb, like, looks
Hannah
so scared.
And hey girls and guys, I took pretty heavy accounting for who was reacting the strongest.
Absolutely.
And it was
Phoebe.
Caleb, Mona, and Emily.
And I'm so
Emily's
glad that you
distant
said that.
Third.
But Emily,
Mona collapses.
I mean, they are, and then the rest of them, I'm like, I would love to see a little bit more tear duct action
Aria,
from you, but okay.
Aria's like,
not surprised. Aria's
like, ow, guys, fuck. I hit my burn on the door.
Yeah. She's like, oh my God, I was lighting a candle for my relationship with Lily, and I burnt my wrist again. I'm really heat sensitive right now. I got it on me.
Emily,
so I was trying
like,
to think of what she'd burn a candle for, and I couldn't think of anyone that she like cares enough about to light a candle for.
Emily like grabs her hand in shock and she's like, ah. M?
She's like,
hey, M?
Okay, I think you just burst my
Watch
bubble.
It.
Literally. My bubble buster, literally. So they look up. They see what seems to be Hannah hanging, and they're all screaming, but Caleb is, like, actually losing it. They get her down. I don't know how they could tell it was a fucking mask. They are like, it's a mask. I'm like, okay, we've seen masks many times in this show, and I know in the last season that we saw these like skin masks, but they didn't. So I'm like, for you guys to think it's a mask is crazy because we're used to seeing the glass masks that like resemble the girl, but it's not like a dead ring, you know. So I thought that was interesting.
Caleb like goes to touch her neck a little bit, and I think it starts to like flare up. I think that's how he notices.
Mm.
But I do agree. I mean, it looks just.
Yeah,
I wouldn't notice, especially if I was not like Caleb's like right over her. But they take the mask off, and then a baby doll's mask is in this like life-sized doll. And then there's also a string to pull.
Of course,
and I
there
am, like,
is.
This is insane stuff.
It's classic A, though. I feel like this was like a classic thing where we pull the thing on the doll.
Vintage PLL, but I
Maya's like looking around like, I swear to God, Mona's like, it was not me. Spencer, no, Spencer, I'm serious, it was not me. I know. Spencer's like pinching her ear. She's like, uncle, I know. But they pull the lever, crunk. They pull it, and it says, you've got 24 hours to give me Charlotte's real killer or Hannah dies, TikTok bitches. And then Caleb looks at his phone. It's 4 a.m.
Okay, Emily's downstairs on the phone with Melissa saying she has to get her ass back to Philly.
Literally, get back here and fix this.
And then we go to the Hastings Castle.
Yes.
And suddenly we're watching the show 24.
No, literally we are watching 24. Where's Jack Bauer?
We're getting this fucking clock, like, over and over again telling us how long we have. We're at 23 hours. And I'm like, wait, we have 23 hours. That means it's 5 a.m. The sun's up. The sun is at its high point for the day.
We know things. I mean, it could be pitch black at noon in Rosewood, and we just have to go with it. Like, that's just, it's just the way of the town, it seems. So Spencer is saying that her parents are about to board their post-election victory cruise so we can make this house command central. And I'm like, Spencer has always wanted to say that, like literally yes. always. So their theory right now is that Mary Drake is Uber A, emoji AD, and that she must be working with somebody because we saw in the surveillance cameras that they set up outside the Lost Woods Resort that she was running around the woods while somebody else had to have been dragging Hannah out of the room. So they're like, if we put all our heads together, we can figure out who actually killed Charlotte. And then we see where Hannah is. Can you imagine, like, if you have just been through what the girls have been through with the dollhouse being so recent, like, Hannah, how fucking terrified, like, I would just, I don't know what I would do, but.
Well, the dollhouse also, like, not that it's so recent, but just that, like, they've just gotten to a point where I feel like they're distant enough from that having happened to them.
And then they're, like, recovering and now, yeah. Into it. Yeah, exactly.
It's so scary. I mean, I remember the storyline and being, like,
I mean, no, it's crazy. Like, this episode in particular, there's a lot of crazy, like, shit. I'm like, okay, we're taking another step here. Got to keep amping it up. It's probably why they stopped, because, like, where would they have even gone from here? But, like, yeah, Hannah, literally. I mean, at times she's, like, sprayed with a hose really hard. Like, she, I mean, just all kinds of, it's horrible. So, we're so back in the castle.
And this is our list of votes that we have for who we think killed Cece.
Everyone put their anonymous guesses into a bowl.
It goes Allison, 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 no name, Emily.
I know. Emily gives the sheepiest look. She's like,
ugh. Mona, Spencer, Allison.
And it's like so, clear that, Mona and Spencer treat each other. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's kind of funny because it's clear that they know it too. Like, everyone at the table is like, okay, so we can just discard those. Why did you guys waste those votes? Like, they're just like, oh, my God. And so they're like, okay, well, if it was Allison, what would her motive had to be? We don't know, but we do know that she had an opportunity.
Here's what I'm saying, Aria. You've had this information. I know you've disclosed this to them, but why have you never disclosed this theory? And then why did we never think about the fact that Allison's car, like, goes back home, like, and Cece died? So it's we know Cece didn't wear what you saw someone wearing, Aria. Yeah. And
she's been so.
We know that the car ended up back at the house. So we know that Cece didn't drive it home.
She's just been so me and wrapped up in herself and Ezra and Lily in the
book. She's been writing a book, of course.
Like, the fact that this didn't, it's like, could this have saved us time? Probably. But anyway, they're like, we remember Allie walking out of her car. We thought
she's
it was
Cece. She's like, I work better under a deadline.
Right. Sorry. I work a little better under pressure. Diamonds are made out of pressure. Not surprising. But this person they saw, Allie allegedly, was wearing a red jacket, and we know that Charlotte wasn't when she died. But Emily, we're back on this. Emily doesn't, because I'm sure she believes it's Melissa, but she's like, no, I'm not buying that. Like, now she's in love with Allie again, and she's going to protect her at all costs. And that's when Toby brings up their sordid past. He's like, okay, well, I know that Allie is, like, evolved, but we can't pretend that the Allie that blinded Jenna never existed. And that's a good point.
You know what? Good point.
You know what?
And
yeah, we know it's
someone
inner.
Someone suggests perhaps it could have been self-defense. Maybe Cece was the one that snapped because she found out about Allie and Rollins or something like that. And maybe Allie had to act in self-defense. And then they're like, okay, we need to find the red jacket. If Allie did it, Cece's blood will be on it. And I'm like, that is kind of... That's not
for sure true. It's also a red coat. So I'm like, it's not like.
Are you going to have Toby risk his job again and have him, like, go in and do DNA testing himself?
Yeah. Well, I'm like, it's red. The coat is red. So is blood. Like,
and
I don't know.
What I mean. They're going to send Toby in there.
I guess so. Caleb is like, hey, I don't actually give a fuck why she did it. I just want to prove that she did so we can get Hannah back. So, like, whatever reason you guys need to
Emily's
come up
like,
with,
I'll let you figure that out. Whoa.
And Emily's like, okay, I know your girls, we're not sacrificing my girl for your girl, okay? Emily's like, we're not playing this game, Caleb. Mona goes, I'm all over Mary Drake. I think she's the fastest route to Hannah. And then we see Mary Drake is moving into the Lost Woods Resort. Resort. And Spencer goes, all roads lead back to the Lost Woods Resort.
I hate that fucking line. Because we say it about everything. It seems like the roads in this state lead to nowhere.
That's so true. They all lead back to Rosewood Times Square.
Which is basically how cities work.
Exactly. So they're going to watch Mary Drake. They're watching her move into the resort. She has a ton of bags. And Caleb's like, we don't need to be here. Let's split up. Of Hannah?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I didn't. Go ahead.
They get sent mid-conversation. They get sent this terrifying picture of
terrifying
like when you're like 8 years old and you're on the internet for the first time, like by yourself, and you see like the creepy pasta.
Yeah, stuff. It looks like that. And it's like the
it's like
green
those inverted
light
pictures.
Yeah,
that
it's like night
like
vision,
so
low key.
Scary looking.
She's got a bloody lip. Like she looks so scared.
And she's like stripped down.
Yeah. So that lights wet. A fire under their ass, I would say. Yeah, exactly. It's horrible.
Caleb takes his phone in his hand and he like holds it to his heart.
I know, like as hard as it was to see Hannah in such a terrible situation, like it did soften.
And
the blow.
Emily goes, okay, well, if you guys are gonna sit here and look at this, I'm gonna go visit my girl, and here are the keys to her house.
Yeah.
here they are.
And then I think it's funny because Caleb is like, we don't like all need to be here. Like, let's split up. I'll go with Mona. Spencer, bye. He's like, Spencer, you go with Toby. That's how much I don't care about you and Toby rekindling. Go ahead. And Toby's like, Spencer's definitely like, what the fuck? But okay.
Emily says, Allie has to tell me the truth.
Okay. Well,
she's
historically,
like,
no, she doesn't.
For doing the opposite.
Historically, that's not really Allie's strong suit. Okay. Right. So just let's watch our expectations here. Toby is picking a lock to get into the Lost Woods Resort, and Spencer's like so impressed with how good he is at this. He's learned so much. Emily is talking to Elliot, and he goes, what did he say? He's like, oh, this is just really strange. Emily goes, Elliot, almost everything about the dealer and his family is strange.
she's like, Elliot,
you're new here.
Let me tell you something about our family.
Kind of weird. Kind of off. But she thinks that this is proof. Like, she now has proof that Allie wasn't seeing dead people. Mary Drake is here. We need to get her out of here. Obviously, Elliot can't let that happen. Tells Emily Allie has suffered a complete psychotic break, that she's so consumed with shame for some tragic event that she feels responsible for. So he's really planting these seeds. That, like,
and he's like, why? What could she have done that would have given her such a lethal dose of guilt? And Emily's like,
I can't think of anything either. Emily's like, no idea.
It's
and
weird.
Then she guilt? Watches.
It's weird you would ever even think that she could be guilty of anything.
This is quite troubling for me. I'm going to have to talk to her about this when she's lucid. I'm going to tell her, hey, Allie, you're with the wrong person. It's me. It's been me. Okay. So Elliot, then we hear Allie start screaming, and like Elliot comes in and she like hits him to get away from her as he injects her with something that basically tranquilizes her.
Okay. I do think, Emily, I know that like we know more about him than the girls do, but part of me is like, I think we were a little quick to give him all this information.
Yes. I'm like, where are the red flags, Em?
It's not like with Ezra, Toby, and Caleb, who have been with you guys since the beginning.
Right.
Like, they are like pretty, you can trust them.
Yeah.
You know them and you know that they're on your side, but you don't know that about Elliot. And you also don't know how much like he knows about everything. Like, I was a little bit like, slow it down.
Slow it down. And I feel like I would be getting some alarms raised for me that he's like even able to be doing.
Treat her.
Like, yes. Like, I'm like, I know, like, I guess he is like a doctor there, but you wouldn't be able to treat your wife. You wouldn't be able to inject her like that. So like, and then he like looks at Emily, like they make eye contact after it happens. And I just have to believe that Emily's like, wait, that feels weird. Like, this feels like a strange way to be treating her. I don't know.
So we go to the Lost Woods Resort and we're at 18 hours left, and they're going through all these books and they're like, wow, Mary Drake must be super smart. We find out that Spencer has a language app where she gets a flag for every language that she learns, and her emoji gets to fly to the country.
This was crazy, Phoebe, because she goes, oh, well, I'm sort of obsessed with this language app where they reward you with a flag when you reach fluency. You know how hard it is to be fluent? And then she like lists off all the languages that she's allegedly fluent in now, like Spanish, French, German, and she's really close to getting on the plane to China. You're telling me, Spencer Hastings, that all this has been going on and you're almost fluent in Chinese from a language app? Fluency? That's just crazy. She should have just said proficiency, honestly. She should have said completed the course. Fluency, it took me right out of it. I was like, okay, now this show is not realistic anymore.
So they're looking, there are a lot of textbooks about like technological things and all these things. And they're like, wow, it looks like we have a self-taught Uber A on our hands.
There's literally a book called The Art of Cyber War. Yeah. So they're like, she taught herself how to do this for sure.
And we're going through like her passport or whatever, and we're in Toby says she's been to more countries than your emoji. And then we see that she flew from Heathrow to Philly a month ago, which would have been a week before Charlotte was killed.
Yes. We then go to Ezria, and they are going into Allie's house, and they're looking for something, anything. And Ezra, like, automatically is like, oh, so they go in, and Ezra's trying to open, like, this ottoman at the foot of the bed, and he's like, oh, something's weird. And she goes, don't tell me you found a toy, okay? I don't need to know about it if you found a toy. He's like, no, it's just, it's locked. This is locked.
He's like, I didn't.
Oh, I knew Allie was a prude. Like, Arya's immediately like, and you should have known. So I wouldn't find a toy here. She talked a big game in high school, but I don't think she was actually walking the walk.
She talked a big game in high school, but I was lit. I mean, you know what we were up to?
Yeah, like, I just know that I was at the Kissing Rock, like, way more times than she was. And it wasn't a competition, but I just... And then when I stopped going, it was only because I was dating an older guy who couldn't go with me. So if she made up for that a little bit, then that, I mean, it's because I was off the market. So, you know. Anyway, so Elliot walks in.
Oh my God. Can you even believe that? He turns on. They're being so, like, they want us to remember he's British so badly.
So bad.
He has to turn on the British news service.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's all about the details. We are the dark details, right, as my tattoo says. And we have Ezria hiding in the closet, and they're holding hands, of course, as Elliot walks into the room, and he walks over to a light fixture, sconce on the wall, and takes out a key that opens the ottoman. And out of the ottoman, he pulls out A-looking materials, like a black backpack and things, locks it back up, goes back in the other room, and opens, like, his, like, doctor briefcase, and it's just full of weapons. And he pulls out this, like, massive fucking knife and examines it and puts it back.
Yeah, it's like a song.
Oh, my God. Was he, like, did he think they were in the closet so he was getting that so he could go back and kill them? Because then he goes right back to the closet. Seems to have known they were in there.
Yeah.
And they're not.
I got the sense more so that maybe he heard them leave.
Leaving. That makes sense.
Because they did fully climb out of the window and he went to go, like, check on them.
I'm like, how did that happen that fast? And you shut the window again? And you were able to shut it? No way.
Well, Arya's really nimble.
Well, that's so true. But we just don't know about Z. We just don't know how nimble he is. You know?
We, like, know Arya could have done it no problem.
Of course. I mean, Arya's like, I'm literally made for this kind of a thing. I'm small but mighty. So Spencer is at the Hastings Castle alone. She's about to eat some pickles. And this is when, as Phoebe mentioned earlier, she calls Caleb and she's like, let me bring you food. Like, we haven't eaten since yesterday. And he's like, I have to go, Spencer.
He goes, food is the last thing on my mind, Spencer.
He's like, you know who else is hungry, I bet? Hannah.
And then she's like, she says something else and he goes, she tells him, and I am a little bit like, Spencer, clearly, like, he's busy, like, maybe,
right,
you'll feel better about everything if you wait to have these conversations until we get Hannah back. And then
I know you gotta, like, eat, but, like, how are you just able to sit down right now, Spencer?
I know. How do you have time to just, like, go through the Radley file, which how is are you just doing, like,
doing and that Caleb and having goes, some pickles.
Caleb's like, okay, whatever. Hangs up. Spencer's like, goodbye to you too. It's like, okay, we need perspective, Spencer.
Yeah. This isn't just like a normal day. This isn't like every other day. This is kind of a big one. And the clock is literally ticking. It's also not like you don't have like a deadline that's imminent, you know?
Right.
So I don't know. So, okay. We then see Caleb and Mona watching as Mary Drake gets bleach, charcoal, like a bunch of shit out of a car. And Mona explains that charcoal absorbs the smell of death. And that Mary Drake is going to lead them to Hannah. Like, she's on her way to kill her, they think. And then we see Hannah. Her room, like, starts filling with water. Her room, her, like, concrete cell starts filling with water. And then she starts getting sprayed with a hose. And then I thought he was, like, shocking her. Well, it looked like he had a taser. And he was, like, then on top of it when she was wet, shocking her. It was, like, it's so horrific. My God.
Yeah, it's terrible. Then we go to Mona and Caleb. And they're following Mary Drake. And they're, like, she's in this, to me, I was like, wait, you two are supposed to be the smartest characters in this show.
I'm with you.
They go, she's either taking a tour of the county or lost. And then she takes one turn and immediately Caleb goes, we're not going to Hannah. We're going to the De Laurentiis house. You didn't know you were in Rosewood?
No. And that also, the other thing that annoyed me about that is I was like, Caleb and Mona, you're in a Jeep, which has like super bright headlights and your headlights are on and you're the only two cars on the road and you're following close behind Mary Drake.
They're very
and
close to her.
It wasn't until that turn that Mona goes, cut the lights. I'm like, I mean, if you didn't want to be seen, I have a feeling Mary Drake probably knows you're right behind her, honestly. And she ends up going to Spencer's house.
Yeah, and Caleb texts Spencer and says, don't answer the door, it's Mary Drake.
So, and I have a I'm quick like, little thing okay. here. The door Caleb's is windows. Gonna,
yeah.
Spencer acted like she had no idea who was at that door. There are windows.
It's just like she had no shot. And I just know Caleb is going to be like a little bit annoyed with her for having opened the door. Yeah. Like, what was she supposed to do? You didn't know where she was in the house. True. And we famously only knock on the back door at this at the right. Hastings house.
That's where you know so you,
can,
true.
You can see. So
right.
Mary Drake knocks on the door and then the phone buzzes as Spencer's going to answer it. And she like looks back for a second. But then Mary knocks again.
Yeah, Mary's like, I'm a little impatient here. So she then asks if Spencer is Spencer or Melissa. And she's like, I don't know. You know, I don't know. And Spencer invites her in because Spencer's like, OK, you know what? Caleb told me not to open the door. So I'm going to do you one better. I'm going to invite you right in. I'm not only am I going to open the door, I'm going to bring you into my home and make you tea. And that is exactly what she does.
Mary's looking for her parents. And she says, we used to have a lot in common. And then Spencer says herbal or leaded tea. And she says, I'm never one to turn down caffeine.
Yes. So Emily is back at the hospital with Allie, Welby. And she's on the phone with Aria. And she's like, I'm going to get to talk to Allie for a few minutes. And I just, like, I need to tell Allie. Or she, okay, so that's what she tells Aria. Then Emily goes to talk to Allie. And
Emily's like, yes, she's asleep. I can just ask the question and then say she said no.
Exactly. And I'll tell everyone I asked it. And that's not a lie. That's not a lie. And she didn't tell me yes. So if I, you know, if I'm like, no, she did not say that she did it, then that is not a lie. That's actually true. So Emily goes in. She's like, I need to know the truth about Charlotte. Did you do it? Allie is, again, asleep. She's like fully tranked out. She's like, I raided Ella Montgomery's medicine cabinet and I'm not waking up for a few days.
This is where Ella's been this whole time.
Yeah. Like, this is where Ella gets her supply. Checked in. Exactly. You like see Ella. You hear it go, thank you, Elliot. Like, you hear that down the hall. It's like he's leaving her room after administering treatment.
We'll see you in 2 days for your next dosage.
Yeah, exactly. And then Emily says, did you kill her? And Allie, like, jolts to life as though she's been electrocuted.
It's again giving, for some reason to me, a lyrical Christmas carol at the House of Peter.
And why? It never fails. Every season, it takes you back. That show had a massive impact on you, and I wish you'd start acknowledging that.
This is the culture that made me say... I can never say it right.
This is the culture that made me say culture is for me. Yeah, exactly.
Practicing. I have a note in my phone in case the time ever comes.
Well, thank God. And you, as you should, if you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. What if they're like, we have 24 hours notice, we need you here. We wouldn't be able to not make that happen. No, I don't care what's going on. I would be there and I'd be ready. I'd be prepped. Okay. Anyway, Allie's like, help me, please. God, forgive me. And it does seem like she's like asking for forgiveness for something that, you know,
for something. We go to the Hastings Castle and Jessica says something, or Mary Drake says something to me that makes me scratch my head. You look a lot like your sister, almost like twins.
Okay. I don't know about it, but I mean, I guess I see the family resemblance since I know they're in the same family, allegedly, since they were cast that way. I also was cracking up at the part where she goes, are you close? And Spencer goes, occasionally.
Occasionally.
And like, if that ain't exactly how we would describe it, like it's, yes, 100%. And Spencer's like, so my family never talked about you. It was fascinating. So,
Mary delivers a read of the Hastings family.
I was born, what did she say?
She says, well, your family has always been excellent secret keepers.
Oh, yes. But Spencer takes that as a compliment, probably.
I'm like, okay, what about your family? There's some shit going on over there across the street.
Except for famously, the De Laurentiis family cannot keep their mouth shut. Like, famously, everyone knows everything about them.
Except when it comes to CeCe Drake.
I guess, yeah. That's the only thing. So Mary is also like, me and Jess didn't get along and Jess turned everybody against me. I was born first and she was born jealous, which is exactly how I talk about Phoebe. That's exactly how I would basically talk about Phoebe.
I think that's so iconic. And she also says, when they were younger, she left Rosewood because Jessica poisoned everyone against me.
Yeah. So the Yikes. Reason that she's back is because she found out Jess was dead. She's like, okay, I can reclaim my land. And now she's like, all right, I got to go now. I got to go back to the resort. And Spencer's like, well, wait, are you alone there? Like, no children or anything? And she's like, yeah, I'm alone, but how would you know that's where I'm staying? And Spencer goes, oh, well, my ex-boyfriend's a cop and he told me about your break-in. Hey, Spence, you gotta stop doing this. You gotta stop endangering Toby's job like this. And Toby definitely like shouldn't have told you that. So stop it. Right. Stop saying, and it's not like he's even your current boyfriend. It's even worse that you're like, oh, my ex-boyfriend, you saw him today and you told him something and he's already reported it back to me. It shows an interest in Mary Drake, Spence.
Mary Drake says, oh, that's so interesting. I can never seem to stay friends with any of my ex-lovers.
Say
okay, if you're an adult that I just met and you're like, you knew me when I was a kid.
Don't use the word lover.
Never use the word lovers.
Don't use the word lover unless you are literally good. Quoting a Taylor Swift album. Lover. Okay? Other than that, that's the only acceptable time. And then she goes, make sure you lock your door. These days, you're not safe.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, psycho. Road Warriors, can we get real for a second? I want to talk about the massive effect stress can have on your hormones. And who better to talk about this than me, a certified stressed out girly.
It's true. Stress plays a huge factor in hormones, and between work and life and everything else, it's easy to feel totally out of balance. And we can't be the only ones.
That's where Happy Mammoth comes in. They offer a free 2-minute quiz that can help you uncover the root cause of your hormonal symptoms. It's super easy. Just answer a few questions about what you're going through and where you're at in life.
And the best part, after taking the quiz, you'll get a personalized recommendation to help balance your hormones and start feeling better. Y'all know we love Happy Mammoth, so obviously we took the quiz and it gave us personalized insights into what might be happening with our hormones.
You know, it's not a competition, Phoebe, but I finished the quiz in literally 30 seconds, so it couldn't be easier. Based on my symptoms, it seems I'm overflowing with estrogen, and their recommendation was, drumroll please,
hormone harmony. Taking care of your hormones isn't just about feeling good right now. It's about investing in your long-term health. By taking the hormone quiz, you'll learn more about your hormone balance and can make small, intentional changes to support your body.
Whether it's with Hormone Harmony or another Happy Mammoth product, the quiz helps guide you towards solutions that work specifically for you. So, ready to start feeling like yourself again?
Head on over to happymammoth.com and take their free 2-minute hormone quiz to find the ultimate answer to your stubborn hormonal issues. And for a limited time, you can also get 15% off your entire first order with my code PRETTYLITTLEPODCAST at checkout.
That's happymammoth.com and use the code PRETTYLITTLEPODCAST for 15% off today.
Live on DAZN Worldwide.
Saudi Arabia.
Saturday, May 3rd, 7 p.m. Eastern. Canelo versus Skull. The king stakes his legacy once more for the undisputed crown. Standing in his way is Warrior Skull, undefeated and poised to decimate the division on a knockout weekend of boxing.
Let's make history.
Get Canelo versus Skull, Saturday, May 3rd, 7 p.m. Eastern, live exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com.
We go to Ezra's loft apartment, and Arya's looking at the picture of Hannah again, and she's like, she looks so scared. It's a little much.
Arya's like, she looks so bad. Oh my God. She looks bad. Don't you think?
Me writing these notes, I was like trying, because like Arya isn't actually looking at it in any sort of bad way. But
no.
Like, I am always writing my notes.
Where no, my I had mind the same goes. Thing, V. I thought, I but my like, thought with this
not,
was.
I'm actively trying not to be mean.
Yeah, but I wasn't. Because Arya, I was like, Arya's looking at this like, should have been me.
Jealous.
She's like, so, yeah, exactly. She's so jealous.
I did think that.
Like, she's just like watching and this. Then, she's like, oh, God, I was so close. I was so close. I got burned. Wasn't enough. God, of course it wasn't enough.
It's always Hannah. Hannah makes
always about
her.
Hannah. And that's when Ezra just like takes the phone away.
I thought here that then this like a pop song starts to play, like a, or not even a, just like a, an adult rock song, you know. And I immediately
wait,
said,
"No,
oh great, a sex song."
That's not yet.
Playing.
That's not yet.
Yes, it is.
The Fray, when they play the Happiness by the Fray, their
no,
song.
No, I don't think it's
later.
By the Fray. No, not their
okay.
song.
Okay.
But anyway, like, I just mean like a song starts to play, and I said, are they about to have sex
must
while
be
this
a
is
sex
happening?
Scene. Yeah. If you hear a good song, like, what you gonna you do when your mom says no, but you got a free ride and you gotta go? It's like either I'm about to see a theft, grand theft, or I'm about to see sex. Porn.
That covers it.
Or I'm about to see porn.
And Ezra takes her phone away and is like, you need to try to rest. It's been 36 hours since you last slept. And I'm like, no one else is resting.
No one else why is resting. And why should we be? Why do you guys get to sit on the couch?
How can
Who's
you?
Time?
How
ca- Who's the time for this? You? Caleb and Mona would not be pleased to know you guys are relaxing. So Arya's like, I need to go home. Like, I'm confused. I'm confused about you. I haven't talked to Liam. Like,
she's like, where is Liam? I mean, who's Liam? Liam who's just Liam? Came into my
oh
head.
My God. She like looks at her phone background. She's like, oh my God, I forgot about him. I forgot about him. She shows it to Ezra. She's like, I gotta deal with this. Yeah, I gotta deal with this. She's like, I need to think about this before I can talk about, like, I don't know if you and I are friends with benefits. And I feel like Ezra's like offended. He's like, No, we are not friends with benefits, Arya.
It
like,
happened once.
He's like,
also,
how
I feel like
you?
It hasn't happened enough times for her to label it
for it
benefit.
To even be that. I know. I'm like, exactly. I'm like, first, it's like a demotion for Ezra, but it's also like, you slept up one time. She's like, was it a slip exactly. or are we friends with benefits? There was no relationship option there. And I'm also like,
was it
hey,
a slip
Arya,
or
if you're
should we get
in
busy?
A relationship, yeah, should we get to work? If you are in a relationship with somebody else, you actually can't be friends with benefits with somebody else. So I'm going to poke a hole
open.
In that one.
It's open.
Yeah, yeah. And if Lily knows that, then thank God, because I would be surprised.
I did apologize in my notes for preemptively slut shaming Arya.
No, and I think it's expected and okay.
We go to the brew, and Emily is distraught as hell. She does tell Arya that she couldn't see Allie. She lies, and she wants the key back to go back to Allie's house to look for the jacket. And Emily is like so emotional. She's like crying. Well, she's not actually crying, but she's like on the verge. And we see Sabrina's back. Arya's like, okay, well, I can't deal with this, so here's
that.
The key. I'm gonna head out of here. I'm gonna go home and call my boyfriend.
Arya's like, hey, I can't deal. Oh wait, I know she's giving Emily Allison's key back, but for a second I was like, what if she's giving back the key to Ezra's loft? And she's like, okay, I can't deal with this. And she can't be trusted about Sabrina. She's like, Emily, if you could hold on to this, I don't trust her.
She let the key go missing last time.
Gives it to anybody. Like, I'm like, Arya's like, and Sabrina. No, it's for Emily. And I know she doesn't work here anymore, but we kind of trust her more. Ezra wants to talk to you, by the way, but that's not my place. Here, Emily.
She hates Sabrina.
She hates Sabrina.
But Sabrina's back and she's like, Em, are you okay? This is like, I always forget Sabrina's written like the most annoying fucking bitch ever. She's Maya reincarnated.
Sabrina is who Arya like thought she was gonna be. Yeah, and that's why she doesn't like
it's her. it's like how
she's like,
Arya,
why do you get to work at a coffee shop?
When Arya goes to college, she has every intention of being a Jessa, but she is a Marnie.
And that's the thing, I was watching Girls and I was just like, Marnie is so Arya. Like, I need Phoebe to see that. Like, she just cannot help but be this. Like, that is just who she fucking is.
And So Emily said, or Sabrina asks if Emily's okay. And Emily says, yeah, I'm fine. And Sabrina goes, again with the lies.
It's
been months since we've seen
you. I love that song, One Week.
It's been such a long time since we've seen you. You're acting like you guys like talk all the time and she lies to you.
You're also acting like, I mean, she lied about one fucking thing.
To help her friend.
And,
which
and it
to
wasn't
me
her,
should be
really.
Like a,
it was
our, kind
she,
of endearing.
Arya put her up to it. Yeah, like, hello, what? And Emily is like upset. She's like, I think that my friend did something really bad, and I think that another friend is paying the price for it. So Sabrina goes and locks the door, and she's like, you know what? Let's have sex.
Ezra's right
she
upstairs,
might as well.
But he never comes downstairs. So we're
he
good.
Never comes down here. Yeah. So I know this is like his place apparently, but it feels like mine. She's like, I made some lemon bars this morning. They'll go great with your cappuccino. I'm like, I don't think lemon and cappuccino actually really go that well together, but I do love a lemon bar. So I would take her up
oh,
on it.
So good.
She wants to talk. She wants to chit chat. Oh, the lemon bars at Uptown
they're so
are
good.
Everything.
What the hell was I gonna say? Don't even remember. So we go to the Lost Woods Resort and it's a meeting of the minds with Caleb and Mona. And they're watching her and she's pacing inside. And Caleb goes, what is she doing in there? And Mona goes, it's called pacing. And Caleb's like, why do you always have to be such a smartass?
He's like, look, I understand and appreciate your skill set, but do you have to be such a smartass? Like, it's so funny.
And she goes,
and Mona,
do you always have to be so direct?
They are so funny together. And I, like, I keep thinking about when they had to kiss and it makes my blood boil, but it's fine. Caleb wants to go in. He's like, we can take her. And Mona goes, and then what, we waterboard her? I'm like, I like knowing that that's Mona's like choice of torture. It's like what she would choose. And they have 6 hours left.
And Caleb is like screwing her over because Mary's on the phone and she's trying to listen in. And Caleb's like talking while she's doing it. And she goes, shh. And he goes, don't shush me. And
don't.
She's like, and I lost
shush
it.
Me.
And I lost it.
But he says it in such, like, it's not, don't shush me. It's don't shush me. It's so funny. Like, she's like, don't shush me.
That
it's,
needs to be I in mean, your next, I, next like, time you do a little fan cam for Caleb, this, that, for,
yeah,
that
you're
to,
right.
That's his brat, is very brat coded.
I know. Maybe I should do a fan cam for him like I did. But they take so long. That Hannah Marin mentality. At least it did okay on Instagram. It kind of tanked on TikTok. And I was like, are you kidding me? It took me so long to figure out how to do.
Mona can't figure out too much, but she knows Mary's talking to a man who sounds like British or like Australian. And yes. they're able to find his pin at a bar called Snookers near Hollis. Aria knows it, don't
and
worry.
Aria's like, oh, of course I know it, I'll be there in 5. Is this the bar? No, that was a Hollis Bar and Grill. Okay, so we then get Spencer visiting Hannah, and this is where I wish that some things weren't ruined for me, because I like would love to talk about this with the knowledge that I have, but like we're not going to. But it's like a dream or something, a ghost, a memory maybe, I don't know. And Hannah's like in the cement cell, and it seems that Spencer is here to see her, and it's like, it's gonna be okay. And Hannah's like, this is just a dream. And Spencer says, well, a dream is an experience, and an experience is real. And Hannah tells Spencer that this A is a lot smarter, and she goes, maybe it's a good thing we don't know who killed Charlotte, because I'd tell if I did. And so Spencer tells Hannah, if there's a way in, there's a way out. Like, A is finding a way to get in and out of here. I bet you can do it too, but you're gonna need your strength for tomorrow. You should sleep.
I thought Ashley's acting was really impressive in this scene.
I thought it was so good. I honestly, I was like, this would be such a sweet scene. Like, I...
And especially, like, the idea that Hannah would dream Spencer.
Yes,
to
Phoebe.
Comfort her and to motivate her, to make her feel like she's smart,
yes,
enough to get out of there.
Especially with what's going on. And, like, what I also thought is the way that Hannah is just, like, the love Hannah has for her friends is so pure and so different than the love they have for her, I feel. Like, she just falls
Even
into
Emily.
Spencer, is so happy to see her. Yeah, totally. And it's like, she's feeling a certain type of way, but it's like about Caleb. And it doesn't even matter. And I know, obviously, like in this instance, like, how could you think of anything else? But it's just, I was just like, it's sweet that Hannah's like, she is not actually going to let this come between them the way that I feel Spencer will let it come in between them, you know?
Yeah. Yes. Anyway. Yes, yes, yes.
So Hannah's like, will you stay with me? And Spencer says, always, and sings her a lullaby and, like, strokes her head while she falls asleep.
We go to this Hollis bar and...
I can't, like, I actually am like, hey, Aria,
I don't
try
even know
again.
If we're going to say this thing, but this is so fucking funny. Aria walks in. And a guy looks at her, and Aria, you see in her body that she has this moment of like, wow, I am not even 5 steps in this bar, and I already have a love connection.
That's so fucking funny. That's literally not what I was going to say, but riffing off of this moment that I didn't even catch, I can imagine it so perfectly that I can add this in. It's like, she looks and she's like, okay, literally, I don't have time for this. Don't check me out. I'm here on a mission. I have to help my friend, okay? I know. I'm probably the hottest person that's ever been in this bar. It's called Snookers. Yeah, I know that there aren't that many certified hotties that come through here, but I'm not the one, okay? First of all, I'm off the market. I have a boyfriend. I actually have a boyfriend named Lily.
And
I also have a friend with benefits. So my plate is kind of full right now. And honestly, also, I have to find my friend. So I don't have time for any like quickies in the bathroom tonight. But
even though that
I don't
is
really
kind of my
love,
signature move.
I don't really love that I can like feel all of your eyes on me. Like I can feel you all undressing me with your eyes right now. So that's the first thing I want to say. She like turns around in the bar. She's like, excuse me. Can I borrow this? She grabs somebody's glass and she hits it. She's like, can I say something, please? Can we just turn the music
I
down?
Don't
can
have
turn the music?
Time
this is
for
so
this.
Barney. She's like, can we just turn the music down? Okay. Hey guys, Aria, Aria.
Now Caroline's playing Marnie being Aria.
I am hey literally guys. Aria. And hey, so I just want to let you all know, I know you haven't seen me here before, you would remember, but I'm here for something really special. But I recognize that this is probably exciting for you guys. So I am not taking numbers. I'm not. I'm flattered. I'm flattered. But please don't ask me out. And I am just because of the inconvenience of you not being able to talk to me and ask me out tonight. I am going to sing you just a little song before I head out. So
could you hit it? B26?
Yeah, exactly. Anyway.
So that's not what happened.
So wait, where am I? Well, what just happened?
And she just is classic. And this is why this was the wrong girl for the job.
No, hey, literally.
Hey, my eyes are up here. But don't get lost in them.
Hey, I know that I'm leaning over the bar. It's because I'm tiny. It's because I'm strong. I'm small but mighty. Okay. So my feet are actually dangling off the bottom right now. I'm even wearing platform combat boots. I know I'm that small. My feet are literally dangling. I'm holding myself. I have incredible upper body strength. So I am actually, and that's shocking because if you notice the bandage I have on my wrist, I was, yeah, second degree burns. Yeah. So I don't know. I'm like such a klutz. I'm like a liability. You don't even want me in your bar. So, but I'm hoisting myself up here, which is why. And actually, would you mind holding my hand to help me stay up here, please? Because my burn is really hurting. Oh, I know. My hands are so tiny. They slip right through your fingers. My friends with benefits and I run into this a lot. Yeah, a lot. So that's why I wear these huge rings. I wear these huge rings so that my hands like physically can't slip through his fingers. But that's also why, as you can tell, my hands are a little bit discolored. I know it looks like green. It's actually, that's not from the rings. That's not from cheap jewelry. My mom, this is crazy. I can't believe I'm telling you this. My mom plays Elphaba in the community theater's production of Wicked. Have you? It's every night. It runs every night. It's not paid. No, it's volunteer. But she needed someone to help with her green paint, so I did it. The things we do for our moms, right? So anyway, that's what this is. I don't wear cheap jewelry. Anyway, the reason I'm here, honestly, I kind of forget now. This is kind of a vibe. I'll do a beer and a burger. I'll do a cheeseburger. And that's the last time we see Aria. Sorry, what did happen?
She tells the bartender that she's looking for, quote,
sorry, that's exactly what I have written down. So, that's like, I don't know what actually happened in this. It's exactly what I've written down.
She's looking for a guy, and he's like...
She's like a British guy. Did anyone come in here and order beans on toast or something? Like, oh, my God. You are not that attentive to your clientele. Okay, excuse me. Me again. Do we have any Brits? Any Brits?
If you are British, I will give you my number.
If you're British, I will, I don't know, show you one of my boobs. I'll show you my left boob or something. I'll give you my, you don't want to, you'll just take my number? Okay, well, of course
Spencer makes a comment about it earlier and she, or later about how Aria was willing to give her body for this. And she's like, okay, well, I didn't play strip trivia with Andrew Campbell.
Like, of course I would. I would do anything for my friends. I would do anything for my friends, Spencer. Of course I would do that. Anyway, so she's like people watching in the bar again. She like gets lost in the hustle and bustle of a freaking tavern and she ignores a call from Lily, her boyfriend. I'm like, how many calls is that you've ignored? And then someone on the jukebox plays Happiness by the Fray. And is this like their song?
Here's my confusion. I was always under the impression that B26 was a song because in the first episode, Aria is sitting on the stool and says, mm-hmm. I love this song. And yeah, it's like, she has been.
But maybe that was the band?
She's exactly who she was. But there's not a band called B26. I Googled it. But this entire time I thought that it was like a reference to either a band or a song. And then we see on the jukebox he hits B26.
Oh.
But this isn't the bar where they met. So how do we know that how does she know it's B26? We see it pressed.
Wait, oh my God. That's a really good point.
And then she like she's like, okay.
She like looks like she thinks that like it's someone who like knows.
Right. And then she's past. And then she's like, okay. Hannah is strong. Hannah can get through this. I gotta go see Z.
I gotta say.
And she's so in her own head that she walks through the brew while Sabrina and Emily are having sex on the couch, walks right up to Ezra's apartment.
Doesn't even see it. Literally doesn't even see it. Walks right up to Ezra's apartment. She's like,
Emily, really?
Emily, you know I can't. Oh my God, Emily, her. That's the enemy. That's the enemy. Okay, I didn't want to say. She hit on me, Emily.
After your like Sabrina, little thing where you thought you hit it off?
Yeah.
You thought I was
being rude to her because that's just me. Okay, first of all, I'm disappointed in you for thinking that I'm like that. You know that I really value etiquette and manners. No, I was being rude to her because I was like, what are you doing flirting with my friend when you know you hit on me last week and you're using Emily now to get closer to me? And I know, Emily, what you're thinking is that I was using you, and that's true, but we're used, you're used to that with me. That's like the whole basis of our friendship. I don't get used, and I don't want someone else to use you. Anyway, so she goes out to his apartment. She's like, I don't need to know what we are tonight. I just need to be with you. And the bell tolls as they do it. Someone's in Allie's house. It's Emily. And she finds, I have started.
The eternal house guest.
The eternal house guest. She's like, it just feels like home here. I don't know. Where do I go when I need to feel at home and at peace? Oh, the De Laurentiis dungeon. Like, she loves to be there. It's so funny. I've started, by the way, referring to Elliot in my notes as Eli. So if you hear me say Eli, okay. I'm talking about
Allie's betrothed. It's like me when I accidentally say Cal instead of Caleb.
Right.
Because I write Cal. So Emily has a moment that is similar to like us coming home from hanging out with friends on a Saturday afternoon and walking in the door and not realizing you have to be quiet until you get to the den and you see the dad is dead asleep snoring.
Yeah, you're three like, rooms deep in the house before you realize someone's... And you're like, well, I wasn't being quiet until I realized he was asleep, so could I keep making the same amount of noise? Exactly. Would anyone know? You know, I don't know. Wait, not me. So I was going to the bathroom. I was in the studio and then I like go out and go to the bathroom and dad came down and was like doing laundry, singing to himself. I texted you about it. You didn't even respond.
I know, but it made me have that exact same reaction.
He literally was like actually singing to himself, he didn't know. I think he thought I had left already.
I love when he is playing the guitar and he just like softly sings to himself. It makes me think of like young dad. If he had learned to play the guitar when he was a kid, but he didn't.
Oh my God,
imagine him like singing along in the car to like Bruce Springsteen.
I know. It's a cute idea. And it's also like that is where we get our love for like driving around and listening to music. Because remember how he'd be like, no, we got to go around the block a few more times so we can like finish the song. And like, it's so cute. And like, I feel that like I want to do that. I'd be like, Anthony, don't go home yet. I want to finish the song. Like, whatever. And Phoebe and I, like, we will just, like, sit and listen to music really loud in the car. And it feels, like, so good. But then sometimes, like, scream sing it. And it also is great. Like, but I feel like that's, like, a dad. That's, like, something that, I mean, mom, too. Like, mom was always playing music when we were always singing loud. But
Caroline used to do something called the crazy dance.
Well, they know about the crazy dance. You already told them about the crazy
dance. And it's really a miracle you never hurt yourself.
It is a total and complete miracle.
And
I never hurt myself.
It's actually a miracle that mom never like crashed the car when you did it.
I know. Mom hated the crazy dance. She probably loved
how it made me and Lily laugh as kids.
Probably. Well, it was surefire. Like things weren't good in the car. Like vibes weren't high. Okay, you got it. Crazy dance coming right up. I turn on like some fucking random song, Caroline. And I had to like psych myself up because Fiel, I'll let you in on a secret. It did hurt. It was physically painful because I was literally would, like thrashing my body into every corner of that car.
Caroline would like, turn her body into like her the insides of her bodies would like liquefy, and she would be like she'd moving like one of those fucking things in front of a car wash.
I was just going to say that's exactly how I would refer to it. Like the things that like it's just the air coming up and they're like dancing around the like big blow. Yeah, that is sort of like the crazy dance, but like that's like a fraction of it. It's a fraction of how crazy it really gets. Because imagine that in a confined space.
Totally.
A confined space, loud music, and they're like crying kids in the backseat, but now they're laughing. But now I'm crying, but I don't want anyone to see that. Mom's mad. Mom's like,
Mom's
Goose!
Mad because she can't
Goose,
determine.
You hit the steering wheel.
She can't determine if we're crying or laughing anymore, so she just thinks we're all fighting.
Yeah, exactly. And that's still true.
Yeah.
Mom like hears me and Phoebe recording the podcast. She's like, girls.
Really?
Girls.
You know I hate when you fight.
Okay. Phoebe, get in the car. Start driving. Caroline, you get in the car. Start driving. Meet halfway. You have to hug for 15 minutes. Yes, you have to hug.
Cincinnati,
I want you
Ohio.
To ask somebody to film it. Yes, Caroline. Yes. Yes. And then dad says, yes.
Yes.
Yes. It's Boston.
I've never met anybody else from Boston that says it like that. Except Nana said it like that. But Gaga doesn't say it like that.
Anyway. Okay. So Emily goes into Allie's room. Picks up the jewelry box and she's just like taken through memory lane while old Allie quotes play in her mind.
Elliot, you fucking pig. You haven't been through any of these rooms to like touch them up.
You didn't notice there's broken glass here? What if I only came home and stepped in this room? Bad husband award, anyway.
And that's exactly what Emily's saying.
Yes, precisely.
I would have never let this sit.
It's also just like crazy because I'm like, is this supposed to be a sweet moment where we're like, and Emily's gonna fall back in love with Allie? Because what I'm actually seeing is just replaying every like nasty, manipulative thing Allie said to Emily.
We're replaying all these moments where like, as far as we're concerned right now, was Allie manipulating Emily's feelings?
Yes, Allie like absolutely being like wreaking a havoc on poor little confused Emily. Like, you know, just that's what I'm hearing. And then, and even when they make out, when we get the flashback of them hooking up, that also kind of felt like that, you know, like when it happened, it didn't feel like really super. I was like, Allie, this is mean because you know how Emily feels. Like, so why are you doing that?
In retrospect, that scene is weird because they like never really addressed it after. And then Allison started dating Lorenzo and it was like, wait, I thought,
I'm confused.
It was never like tied that up. And this scene felt a lot longer this time around than the first one. I felt like we were watching them kiss for a long time.
I agree. I think it was. No, I think it. This was an extended cut, I believe. I think it was longer. But I'm just like, with the fact that like, if we're confused, then Emily was, you know, confused. And I just, that's where I'm like, Allie, like.
And she's married.
The fact that you never talked about it. Like, imagine how that felt for Emily. Exactly.
And Allie, here's the thing. And you've set her up for failure because she's going through the same exact thing now with Melissa. Listen to the punch bowl.
Exactly. If you don't know what we're talking about, that's not my problem. I made it clear. You just didn't listen. You just didn't hear it. So Hannah's waking up. There's no Spencer. And she starts looking for a way out. Oh,
Emily
starts going through
the Goodwill boxes in Allie's old room. And she ends up finding the jacket.
Yes, the red coat, if you will. So yeah, Hannah wakes up, starts looking for a way out. Now we're back to Spencer. I literally Googled the actual line because I wanted to get this right of like everything that Spencer says, because it's just a good little explanation. So Spencer's filling everybody in on Mary Drake. She says Mary Drake was in and out of Radley for a significant part of her life. She was initially institutionalized for an incident involving the death of a child who was under Mary's care while she was babysitting. There were no charges ever filed.
I'm so glad you wrote this down.
Yeah. There were no charges ever filed. She was in Radley until she was 18. And then she was readmitted several times until she got out for good 23 years ago. And Ezra says, so she was the babysitter from hell? Which is what it sounds like. But that's like the whole Mary Drake story.
And isn't it something?
Isn't it something?
Gets off the phone with Mona. Or is on the phone with Mona.
Emily walks in and she tells everyone that she thinks Allie is the killer.
Right.
And Caleb's like, well, we can't prove it. And that's when Emily pulls out the red coat. And they like agree that Allie was probably protecting herself, but they do still think that she did it. Which is when Caleb runs out of the house and took Spencer's phone. He has gone like in an actual flash with Spencer's phone.
I'm a little bit like,
how are you going to be like acting like this towards Spencer and take her phone?
No, but why does he need the phone? They're all like, how is he going to know where to go? And then they're like, oh, he took Spencer's phone. I'm like, he's going to the Lost Woods Resort.
Yeah, he knows where it is. Like, I don't know. So there are literally 50 seconds left now. Clock is ticking. And Caleb has the red coat. He's at the Lost Woods Resort. And he texts somebody. Allison did it. Proof is at the Lost Woods Resort. And he drops the coat on the ground.
I think from Spencer's phone, he does it.
Ah, okay. That makes sense.
Which is maybe why he took Spencer's phone.
So maybe that's why he needed it. Yeah, yeah. He doesn't have A's number. He doesn't have Uber A's number.
Right. We go to the barn and AD opens up the thing and we see that Hannah's missing. And
yes.
A has like,
they show like this vent.
Yes. She which we saw Hannah look at earlier. And I'm like, is she in there?
Skinny
and
then legend.
No, she's running through the woods barefoot in her underwear.
In her underwear.
And she's like, imagine though being a driver. I know that the first driver doesn't stop. But imagine if they had been like a little bit behind and they did. Imagine how scary it would be, obviously, to be that girl, but to find a girl in that state on a dark, secluded highway. And now there are people that are so fucked up in this world that they pretend to be that person.
I know. And
crazy.
Hurt people.
Exactly.
Which is why, and it's terrible because then it's like, I think automatically, I'm like, I would like really struggle with like, do I help this girl or not? Well, that's like the. It's the same thing with like people showing up at your house, like knocking on the door, yelling for help. And it's like, mm-hmm. that's a trap. And it like, it well, just makes just it so like hard to like be a and good person. Like exactly. Exactly. And it's, and it always comes back to the purge.
And we've always said that.
And we've always said that.
That's
okay,
our
so,
all roads lead to Radley or the Lost Woods Resort is for all us. Everything comes back to everything.
Everything comes back to everything.
Yeah, because we say that about Cabaret. We say that about Aquamarine. Oh, well, from Claire, specifically from Aquamarine.
Aquamarine. I know that's not what you mean, but I'm still singing it. Okay, so she sees a car. She's calling for help. The car drives away. But then the car comes back, and that's when I'd be like, well, you coming back actually makes me feel weirder. And it should, because it's
Mary
Drake.
I thought that this was a different car. That was my interpretation.
We see the car turn around.
Oh, I thought it was coming around a bend.
No, it doesn't about face. And it's Mary Drake. And so then we go back to the Lost Woods Resort. We have AD or A, whatever, picking up the red coat, putting it in a bag. And we're back at the Hastings Castle with Caleb. No one has heard anything. We haven't heard anything about Hannah, about A, like anything like that.
This
Emily
room
suggests
looks so cozy. It's foggy in there. It's foggy outside. So there's like condensation on the windows.
It is a cozy ass room. And that, I bet that fireplace is going. So Emily is like, I think one of us should go check on Allie at Welby. And Aria is like, why? She's safe. She's fine. Like, literally, Aria is like, I mean, you know she's safe there. Like, but I'm just like, it's so, every time they're like, I should go check. Aria is like, oh my God.
Aria is like, hey, Em, first of all, obsessed much. Second of all, if you want to go see her, just go see her.
Just go see her.
You don't have to be like,
problem.
I have to check on Allie. Go.
Yeah. Don't suggest someone else does it. We know you want to. So so she's like, Welby's locked up like Fort Knox. Like, she's fine. But obviously, Emily is gonna want to go anyway. And Emily, your instincts are right, girl. Your instincts are dead on.
I wish your instincts had come a little sooner before you told Elliot how much y'all knew.
Oh my God, I know. And that's Emily is trust. She's loyal to a fault.
Yeah.
She's trust too easily.
She's like me. Benefit of the doubt.
Oh my God. She's just like you.
So we go to Welby and Elliot is going to see Allie and gives her a new injection. Gets ready to give her a new injection. And he
this
says,
is like just so insane. The injecting stuff like just takes things to such another level in my mind.
He says, don't worry. I'm going to make sure you live a long life. And then he gets closer to her and he says, rotting away in here. I know you killed Charlotte.
And he switches to his British accent.
And just like you, Allison, comma can be such a bitch.
Good job with the British accent. I'm so sorry that I do want to add in one more thing that he says because I think it's funny.
Of course.
But no, you nailed it. You nailed it. It's before you started. So it wasn't like you missed anything in the middle. But before he does the injection, he says, how are you feeling? Maybe a little crazy. I was like...
Why
and
is this
then
how
he does
I feel?
Injection.
This is how I feel like society has been teaching Blake Lively or treating Blake Lively.
The way that Alice is being treated, they're like, down, girl.
They're
fucking quiet.
They're a little bit like, no. I mean, like, these are the Baldoni people. They're like, how are you feeling, Blake? Reading all
a
the
little
comments.
Crazy?
Reading all
a
the
little
comments
crazy?
About how everybody feels about you. A little crazy?
Maybe I'm going to make sure you live a long life reading these comments about
like,
you.
Just like you, Blake, karma
Blake,
can be a bitch.
Karma's such a bitch. No, exactly. You're right. And you hit the nail on the head with that one, as you tend to do, Fee. And
Thank
as we
you.
Do here at the Pretty Little Podcast. Before Phoebe reads the synopsis, will you please go give us a rating, you guys? Come on. I said it on Tuesday. The ratings aren't flooding in as fast as I would like them to be. So this is your job, not mine. What are you showing me?
Oh, just me at the bar watching the Quinn Fabre, Rachel slap from Glee.
Because what else would you be watching? If not that, it's the Hannah slapping Jenna. And if not that, it's Emily punching shower. And if not that, it's eyes are closed, I'm asleep.
Okay, the synopsis is season 7, episode 2. Bedlam. I love that word. With the fallout of Hannah's abduction still weighing heavily on the Liars, thank God. Thank God it's weighing heavily on them. I was worried.
It better be. I better actually never see it stop weighing heavy.
I love when HBO Max calls the Liars the PLLs.
I know. The Pretty Little Liars. It's like, at least you're calling them pretty.
Weighing heavily on the PLLs, the Liars begin to grow suspicious of Elliot Rollins as Allie's condition worsens. Tensions rise between our throuple, Liam, Aria, and Ezra as they work on the book together. Arya is like, oh my god, well, I guess I have my next story.
Yeah, no, Arya's like, I work best under pressure. I work best when there's a little bit of discomfort and friction. So I invited Lily to move in with you, Ayasura. Yes, he's going to move in with you. And he's going to write some chapters from a third party perspective. Yep. From my perspective, actually. He's going to write them from the ex-girlfriend and the current friends with benefits perspective. So you don't mind, right? It's never been done before. Anywho, can't believe we're on the last season of this freaking show. Hey, guys, you have a lot to wrap up. You, like, have a lot to explain. So I hope we all have our worker caps on in the Pretty Little Liars writer's room, okay? Because there's a lot that I'm going to be asking.
I have some bad news.
Yeah. Don't tell me they're going to leave some questions unanswered. That would be crazy. Anyway, all right, guys. Go listen to any of our Patreon episodes from April, y'all. We had a podcast, right? What was the first one we did? I can't even remember now.
Yeah, podcast, punch bowl.
Oh, we did a podcast, and then we did a punch bowl, and then we did a pilot recap. So go listen to that. There's something for everybody. Tune in this month, of course, on the Patreon. If you could leave us a review, that would be amazing. We've got a punch bowl. If you haven't heard a punch bowl before and you want to know what they're all about, last week, exactly a week ago, if you're listening on May 1st, we did release a punch bowl episode onto streaming. So go listen to it. And if you like that and you want more of that, there is more of that. It's just behind a paywall. So because this is America, you guys. Sorry, it's America. So if you guys could go listen to that, that'd be great. All right. We love you so much. This is going to be a really fun season. I can feel it. We'll talk to you soon and we'll see you next week.
And splat.
Did you like already do your Robert Durst impression this episode? And I forgot.
Live on DAZN Worldwide.
Saudi Arabia.
Saturday, May 3rd, 7 p.m. Eastern. Canelo versus Skull. The king stakes his legacy once more for the undisputed crown. Standing in his way is Warrior Skull, undefeated and poised to decimate the division on a knockout weekend of boxing.
Let's make history.
Get Canelo vs. Skull, Saturday, May 3rd, 7 p.m. Eastern, live exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com.